And we are live. Welcome everybody to Live at the Hive, episode 223. I am your host, Dan Nedelko. And today I've got a very special guest on, Austin Armstrong. He runs Socialty Pro, a US-based digital marketing agency with a great unique specialty in the absolutely on fire app TikTok. Welcome, Austin, and thanks so much for being here today.
Dan, thank you so much for having me. What a cute little intro you have there, too.
we mask our lack of production quality with cuteness. That's the strategy.
I like it.
Awesome. Yeah, so today what we're going to be talking about, everyone, as we wait for the teeming millions to enter is TikTok is, I think, and I think, Austin, you would agree, very much misunderstood by quite a few businesses. This notion that it's an app for teenage girls to do dances, which it is. I mean, that's a fair, like, it's a fair thing to say. But there's a huge number of niches within TikTok and businesses. I've got some stats. There's over a billion active users a month on TikTok. Hundreds of millions of them are in the United States. I think 190 or 200 million now. So you're looking at almost half the population. And we'll dive into this a little bit, but TikTok users are rabid, 8 to 10 times a day engaging with the app. And you've probably, I mean, just notionally, hey, Austin, how many times do you open TikTok a day? Probably a lot more.
Oh, you don't want to, I don't even want to look at my my phone's analytics of how much time I spend in the app because it would probably scare me.
Yeah, if you have any device care kind of apps in the background and you're in our line of work,
I don't want to know about it.
Yeah, awesome. Before we kick into letting Austin introduce himself, if you are on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, where are we today? We're on TikTok on Austin's profile doing a bit of behind the scenes. Drop a like, drop a follow, subscribe. And most importantly of all, if you are watching and lurking, please drop live comments. We will answer them as best we can live. And if you're watching us recorded, drop a comment. Both of our teams will be watching and we'll be happy to help you out and answer any questions you have. Oh, and one other thing I should mention is welcome to Austin's audience, we are also being really super fancy today, and we are co-streaming on all of our channels as well. All right. So Austin, the floor is yours. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your history, where you came from, and Socialty Pro? And I love what you guys are doing. I actually ran into your TikTok account probably about 3 months ago. Oh, cool. I thought it was really great and saw all the great content you're putting up, but would love to learn more about, you know, where you started and where you're going.
Yeah, thank you. So I've been, I was fortunate enough to find out what I was put on this earth to do at a very young age. So I've been doing digital marketing since I was 14 years old, which is 17 years ago, more than half of my life at this point. Started back doing social media marketing on MySpace and sort of never stopped. Fell in love with it immediately. And I've just been doing it from one capacity or another ever since, mostly behind the scenes, working with agencies, went the part-time to full-time to manager, worked at other companies behind the scenes as their head of digital strategy and whatnot. Started my agency next month, May. So depending on when you're listening or watching this, May will be 3 years in business that I started my agency, Socialty Pro. We really started as an SEO agency, as well as a video and social media agency as well. Big emphasis on YouTube and other social strategies. But when TikTok came out, I really jumped on it, jumped all into it. Not to digress too much, but I was actually let go from my full-time job while I was growing this agency as my side hustle. When I was let go, I decided to go all in on TikTok in particular to see if I could use it as a tool to grow my business personally and it immediately clicked. So here we are, 2022. I've posted about 1,900 videos on TikTok. We're at, I think, 320 something thousand followers on there. It's literally changed my life. I just started a TikTok podcast as well, interviewing other business owners that are crushing it on there. And we just have a lot of fun playing on social media all day and building out digital campaigns. I love this stuff. I love to talk about it. I love to get creative. And it's just a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, one of my favorite things with TikTok when, especially when they launched any of their paid was, you know, don't make ads, make TikToks.
Loved
it. I thought whoever came up with that, it's a brilliant way to express something that I'm sure that you and I have both been talking about for years, which is create native content, create engaging content, you know, stop with the ads and the billboards on social, which is a huge mistake where you see traditional agencies coming in with the notion that I'm going to slap a car ad on a pre-roll on a YouTube video or, you know, do the same thing and just repurpose it there. I'm interested to hear a little bit about your strategy of going to TikTok and focusing in there. And so give maybe a little example, like how have you met potential clients that you've ended up working with? Was it through DMs? Were you collabing with them? Did you reach out? How did that look?
Yeah. So quick backstory here. I hate sales. I am not a salesman. I freeze up. I hate cold calling businesses. I hate cold emailing businesses. I tried the LinkedIn outreach thing. I hate it. It's just not me. So I had to figure out something that worked. And this is really like the Gary Vaynerchuk model of just give your best information out for free. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I did. So everything that I've learned over the past 17 years, useful websites, managing and growing SEO campaigns, video marketing strategies, social media strategies, I just started creating bite-sized pieces of information around how to do everything totally for free, no questions asked. I just put the information out there. And Dan, the craziest thing happens. When you put free information out there that shows that you know what you're actually talking about, you're showing use cases, you're showing how this is working, guess what? They trust you because you have earned their trust by consistently showing up and consistently providing value. And so what my sales strategy has been is I'll have a Calendly link in my bio. There's a bunch of different ways that I've monetized TikTok that I'm happy to talk about if you want to dive down that. But from a client acquisition perspective, schedule a 15-minute call with me on my Calendly. Calendly has some pre-qualifying questions on there so that I don't get anybody and everybody, but the people that we can actually help and that can frankly afford our services at this time being, we jump on a 15-minute call. And then I'm much more comfortable with that because they already know me. They already like me. They already trust me. My videos have already sold them. We're on a call. They're ready to rock and roll. We outline a little bit of a strategy from there. And if it's a good fit, I'll send over a contract agreement there or a proposal, depending on the conversation, and we'll move forward. It's very much like a top-level strategy, but I've been able to convert like crazy through TikTok.
That's incredible. And I just love that you recognized early on the power of TikTok. And I think, you know, one of the things, and I do this quite frequently on LinkedIn, 30 to 45 55 second videos are great because when someone runs into that, and this is a case for TikTok. Now we could talk about the 3 minute, 10 minute thing. Yeah. Remember when the 3 minute video came out on TikTok, people were like, oh, that's so long. Am I gonna do? Now they have the 10 minute TikTok. Yeah. But for businesses and service professionals, regardless, you can actually convey quite a bit in a very short period of time there, and do it in bite-sized nuggets, right? So I think that's a great strategy and brilliant. So maybe you want to run over. You sent over some examples here. I'm happy to pull them up, and maybe we can talk a little bit about what these businesses are. And I think, you know, we already talked a little bit about the misconceptions. What are some of the biggest misconceptions that you've found that people have about TikTok from a business perspective? Or do you even run into that because of the way that you're doing things?
Oh, so many misconceptions. Mostly it's people that I talk to that are not currently on TikTok. The businesses that reach out, they're already on TikTok. They know what's going on. They're seeing some stuff. They've, you know, their curiosity is piqued. So they reach out and I can convince them, because we just do this over and over again. But one of the biggest misconceptions that I hear from people in real life outside of the online world, or if I talk to a business referral from somebody, is that, you know, like you said at the beginning of this, is that's just that dancing app. That's just that music lip syncing app. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to the stats that you said at the beginning of this. There's almost 200 million active US people on the platform today. From a statistical perspective, that's everybody. That's everybody. Everybody everybody's talking about this platform. We see the ads on ESPN. It's mm-hmm. changed our freaking world. You tune in on ESPN and there's a vertical video on there. It's changed our entire world.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, exactly. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. I'm on a long-winded rant here, but one of the biggest misconceptions is because a lot of the people that are creating content are a younger demographic of people. And when you first log on to the app, it doesn't know what you like. So it's going to show you the most popular videos at that time. You have to sort of train the algorithm a little bit to show it what you're actually interested in. But mm-hmm. that is the opportunity. 200 million active people on the platform. Only a very small percentage of people are actually creating. Everyone else is lurking. Your business, your target clientele, whoever you're trying to reach, are on the platform. They just might not be creating. So mm-hmm. whatever your industry is, if you start creating, if you put yourself out there, you're going to win.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And our friends at Rico Realty, a local brokerage, that said, what's your TikTok handle? And there it is, my friends. We've put it right there for you.
Yes, thank you.
It'll be clickable in the bio, in the chat, in the live chat. No worries. Yes. And this is something interesting that I love talking about, because I think this dispels a lot of not rumors, but misconceptions that people have about all social. And really the granddaddy of them all is Reddit. If there's anything in the universe that you are interested in, I don't care if you're a worm farmer, if you like to, you know, the oddest thing in the world, it could be anything. But there are verticals and niches and subreddits on Reddit, and TikTok is very much this way. You know, you've got clean talk and you've got keep going down the line. There's finance talk. I've actually seen some of the best TikToks and really, really professional, really well done are iPad, writing out a bunch of things you can do with a TFSA in Canada or a 401k in the US. And it's just try this and do this. And I mean, I've got hundreds of them that pop up in my feed as well. And so I think if you're a business and you're looking at this saying, yeah, it's not for me, I think you need to spend a little time. The other thing that you said that I really 100% agree with is, I mean, 99% of people on TikTok lurk. They've never shot a video. Mm-hmm. They will probably never comment. They may or may not. But they're there and they're just quietly sitting in the background. And that's the vast, vast majority of users on the platform. So as we move along here, Austin, I've got Jim Brillen here. I think he's one of your clients. Mm-hmm. And I'll just pull that up and maybe you can just talk a little bit about. Yeah.
Yeah, Jim Brillen. So this is an Orange County, California therapist, location specific. I love this case study because there's a lot of people as well that think TikTok's just a shotgun approach. It can't affect a local business. Not true. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not true. The algorithm on TikTok is phenomenal. So this is a Orange County, California therapist. He's licensed in the entire state of California, but he sees people locally for his practice as well. So our content strategy with him, as a therapist, there's a lot of different things that he can talk about. He can talk about addictions and substance abuse. He can talk about relationship problems, marriage counseling, dating counseling. Mm-hmm. He can talk about depression and anxiety. He can talk about all of the different treatment modalities that he offers, EMDR therapy, talk therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, et cetera. He's also a narcissism expert. So what we found-
I thought you were going to say he's a narcissist. And I'm like-
He's also a narcissist, which is why- No. Absolutely not. But you know, maybe all of us that grow a large social media following have just a tiny little bit of narcissism.
That's probably a good thing. Yeah.
But what we did is we categorized all of these things that he talks about. I call this quantifying your expertise. So we create these categories or buckets of content that we can talk about: addictions, relationship problems, types of therapy, narcissism. And what we did is we do a systematic approach of, we create content of all of the things that he can talk about, that his business offers, that would be beneficial for people online to notice mm-hmm. trends. And what we noticed very quickly on is every time that he put out a video about narcissism, it skyrocketed. It went through the roof. It was ultra relatable. He talks about it tremendously well. So now we do like 80% of the content is around narcissism. And then we sneak in other pieces of information as well. But this is what primarily fuels his growth. And it increases his bottom line numbers as well. So like on some of the other topics, they might not do as well. Like he might get 3,000 views, 5,000 views, 10,000 views, whatever, on a relationship-oriented video.
And good, you kept going because I just blipped out very quickly there.
Oh, sorry about that. No.
No, you're good. Yeah. Keep going.
His narcissism videos will consistently do tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, and several times multi-million views talking about that. So that increases his bottom line. It increases his following. And it's just been phenomenal. And as a quick side strategy here, we download these videos and post it across all of his other social media as well. He's about 60,000 Instagram followers right now. No extra work. All we do is download the TikTok videos and post them as Instagram reels.
Yeah. And you guys doing YouTube shorts as well?
Everything. Yeah.
Everything. Yeah. That's a great point. And that's one of the things we all really love over here at Honeypot about the 9x16 format, which is now obviously super popularized. You can definitely magnify that. The other thing with a fellow like this, even though, yes, he's local for his direct clientele, but if he wants to start, you know, get into a point of writing a book or potentially doing a podcast, right? Like, you're opening up new avenues and new possibilities as well. And I agree, one of the things that we always talk about with our clients is we use content pillars. We call it exactly the same thing. Is like, you list out your personas, your customers, your ideal client persona, their fears, their interests, and then what you can provide to solve them, and then test that and go with the ones that what we would call a banger. Right. Yeah. And so follow the algorithm, because one thing where TikTok is incredibly strong, this is where it's like YouTube versus TikTok, right? It's like a punching match. YouTube is absolutely incredible for discoverability. And obviously, because of the Google side, the search algorithm is absolutely incredible. TikTok is actually pretty terrible for search right now, but for discoverability or algorithmically, it's off the charts, right? I think the other thing to add to what you're saying, and I love everything you're saying, is you don't need 100,000 followers to get a million views on a video.
No, absolutely not. And you also don't need that many followers to actually gain clients and business as well.
Yeah. And that's something, actually, we were talking about this yesterday when we were talking about our humble little podcast. I mean, I'm approaching Joe Rogan status here. We got 11 live concurrent viewers right now.
Woo!
I'm sure Joe's really worried. But one of the things I think for every business to understand is like, really understand your niche, right? Like, yes, you want a big audience, but you want the right audience, and not an audience for the sake of having a big vanity number sitting there. If you've got a very engaged small audience, but they're engaged, your business can benefit directly from that. And for most companies and most businesses, how much business does it make to make that effort have a positive ROI? Cool. Awesome. All right. Pedge Interventions.
Yeah, this is a drug and alcohol interventionist. So he talks about, he's in recovery, I believe 15 years now, 14 or 15 years. And he answers frequently asked questions about what specific drugs are like, how to know the signs of that your teenager, that your son, that your daughter, that your parent is struggling with substance abuse, how to talk to them, how to actually get them the help that they need. They'll contact him and he'll do interventions and get them placed in treatment centers. He also interviews people on the street and whatnot. You'll see a couple of the videos here asking them about their addictions and their recovery, sharing stories. This has been a phenomenal. I've worked with him for a long time before TikTok. He's a great guy. He's just trying to help people out there in the world and stop people from dying. Oh, did I lose you? I froze, or you froze. I hope it's not my internet. I think we're still live.
Coming back. Here we go. Okay.
I was talking to myself there for a second.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
I am not sure if it's because I have like 6 tabs open with TikToks. It just blips out very, very quickly. But
Chrome is a RAM killer.
It can be, yeah, on the desktop for sure.
So this is a fun one, Doctor. Yeah. So Pej, anyway, he's just trying to save lives, and he's doing a great job sharing his experience, strength, and hope, as they say in the recovery community.
That's awesome. One thing I'm noticing here, and I think this is also something I was going to say, you've got a great camera set up over there. So you've probably got a 4K camera or an HD camera running there. You just need one of these amazing devices in your pocket to get started, right?
All of these videos are shot on a phone for every client.
And do you typically coach them on format and give them that, and then they just shoot the videos and send it back to you, and then you guys are putting the TikToks together, or like how does that process work for you typically?
So Jim Brion and Pej are actually where our video production team is located. So we actually send a guy out to record them.
Okay.
And then we do have some remote clients as well. So Dr. Danielle and Poak are remote clients that you're going to have pulled up. And then Dr. B, I don't know if you have his channel pulled up as well. He's maybe not. That's okay. He's in person as well. So we have a video production team with him. But yeah, everybody that we work with, I do coaching so that they can take their experience and distill it into bite-sized pieces of information, because you can get a lot of information in a 30-second video or less, but it does take a little bit of structure in order to do so. And some people that are long-winded talkers, especially doctors, it's hard to condense complex pieces of information into bite-sized pieces of information. So that's something I personally do one-on-one coaching with. And then we develop the entire strategy, how to open the video, how to structure that opening hook, what that first line is like so that you're stopping the scroll, what value that you can immediately drop for them, and then a closing call to action. That's typically the 3-arc structure of the videos that we have. This is a completely remote one. For instance, this is an autism nonprofit center out of New Jersey, and he is a wonderful storyteller. His son has autism that you can see in a lot of the videos, and they love him. Videos just over and over again. You can see the one in the green there. It was a recent one, 3.4 million views. Talking about the Wizard of Oz. Just this account has been absolutely phenomenal. They do tons of walks, autism walks all over the state of New Jersey. And they have been absolutely wonderful to work with. So our pillars of content for them are autism education for parents, autism safety, first responder training, because he's actually a trained first responder and goes into police, EMS, firefighters, and trains them on how to handle situations with people who have autism. and then fun stories about his son, and then just life with his son as well, dispelling myths of what it's like to be a family member that has autism, and it's been phenomenal. And we have little mantras with them as well. This is a great strategy as well. So this, on all of his the videos that the son is involved in, anytime he asks his son, whose name is Chris, isn't that right, Chris? He'll go, yes, yes, yes. And we'll put that up on the internet. We'll love that. Yeah. And then at the end of every video, Gary, who is the father, will say, goodbye, everyone. And Chris will say, so long, everyone, every single time. And it's something that everybody loves and gets behind. And so much so that if they forget to say it in a video, people will rush to the comments and say, I missed the so long, everyone.
So you might want to ask them to miss it every once in a while, just to keep people engaged and get those comments engaged. Yeah, no, that's amazing. And one of the things that we've noticed working with several clients, especially in the creative arts and in I guess you would call it not the emergency services, but the life services industries like these folks, is what TikTok has done. I wouldn't say YouTube hasn't done this and Reddit hasn't done this, but in a very unique way, small businesses like this would never have the capability to reach a massively large audience of people that are dealing with the same thing. And maybe a lot of the viewers are just looking for support or entertainment, or they've got a child with autism. They may never engage with this group as a client, but there's a community aspect that seems incredibly genuine on TikTok.
Yes, absolutely. In every industry, and it's very collaborative as well. Like, I'm very in touch with marketing TikTok or marketing talk. It's very much not a competitive space. We all collaborate. We do dual live streams together. We refer each other business from time to time. We're here to help each other. We engage and comment on each other's videos. And yeah, this awesome perspective. It's very much community focused, much more so than I've found on other platforms.
Yeah, and it's odd. You hear about parasocial relationships on YouTube, and I feel like YouTube is very parasocial, as is Twitch, where it's, you know, you become a member of the Hive collective that is in this giant thing called chat at certain points, as opposed to TikTok does seem to feel to continue to maintain that real one-to-one. And again, you know, I agree completely. Like, we both have agencies. It is a big world out there. It is digital is everything now. And I think especially over the last few years, I've always found it ironic, and this is a bit of a rabbit hole, but I come from a software development background and went to the dark side of marketing. Yeah. Back in the 2000s, when we had the sales team that I didn't think we built something really cool and I didn't know how to explain it. And I was like, okay, so now I'm going to get into the sales side. It's ironic to me that people view software developers as these incredibly introverted people, but there are places like GitHub and like collaboration is everything, and they do meetups. And for a very long time in the digital marketing world, that really didn't quite exist, or it was very, very weird and it was very localized. And yeah, marketing talk, I'm a part of that. Like I said, that's where I ran into you and you got into my feed, and then I reached out, I don't know how we connected. I can't remember exactly because it was a little while ago, but here we are. And yeah, I think for businesses, this is something we also strongly recommend to businesses, is collab with other businesses that are complementary to you, right? Yes. And you can go out and you can try to find accounts that are near your same size. So you're not going to go to someone with 3 million followers and say, hey, let's do a series of stitches, for example, or duets. But you can really bring together networks and grow both networks and just expand your own reach as well on the platform.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's an algorithmic benefit of that as well. If you're essentially creating paths and telling TikTok and telling other people that these accounts are related to one another. So for instance, my phone just died here. When you follow someone on TikTok, go to their profile and follow them. What happens is a drop-down menu will appear with other accounts that are related to them. And same thing with videos that you interact with. So the more that you're putting yourself in the same bucket of similar creators, whether it's collaborating, mm-hmm. whether it's regularly commenting, whether it's stitching or duetting their content, you're building those signals out so that other people that follow them and engage with that content will also see your content as well.
Yeah, for sure. And I think this is something we talk a lot about. I do a lot of work with financial advisors, especially in the LinkedIn space, and trying to teach them how to talk to people on LinkedIn. You know, one of the things that's important with all of these networks is these algorithms. If you're not seeing what you want, you've got to train that algorithm. And you can do that by deciding who you're going to go visit, like on TikTok, what profiles you're going to visit, what profiles you're going to follow, and warm that account. I'm kind of, well, 50-50 on how happy about not having that many scheduling features for TikTok. I think it's a double-edged sword. But, you know, one of the things that a lot of these scheduling apps have done is a lot of businesses think, well, there's my content calendar and we can just pop that thing in there and we're done till next month and we're good to go. You've got to use the app and use that comment and reply to other people on their comment threads as well in their videos. It's important. What our team does is we have a series of booked amounts of time, several times per week, where we will go and do just exactly that. The other thing, and again, this is kind of how we got connected, is there are PR and partnership opportunities that you don't even know may exist. You can mm-hmm. you could develop some really great business relationships out of this.
Absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely. Sir. Okay, so you've talked a bit, and it's really great advice in terms of how to structure that content and how to really think about it. You know, one of the things I think, especially for businesses, like create those themes, stick to those themes, test those themes, change the themes if you find ones that are working, but don't try to boil the oceans and don't just make videos for the sake of making videos, right? Mm-hmm. Don't do a lip sync video because it's a trending meme if it doesn't fit with what it is you're trying to say.
Yeah.
Unless you have other advice from your experience.
No, I totally agree with you. You know, having the, you know, the idea of niching down is become controversial a little bit. For me, it's okay to mix in some personality here and there, but you want to have a clear understanding of what your account is, especially from a business perspective. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you're just on there to build a personal brand, do whatever you want. But I'm a business owner, you're a business owner, we're business owners that are watching this, right? There's a core objective here. It's mm-hmm. not to go viral. It's to grow your business. It's to generate leads and sales and income, right? So always keep that in mind. Now, if there's a trend that you can apply to the subject matter that you regularly talk about to your business, do it. If you want to, jump into it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to. Like looking at the accounts that you showed of our clients, they don't really do trends. You know, Jim Brion is at 97,000 followers. He doesn't do any trends. Mm-hmm. Poak is at 166,000 followers. He doesn't do any trends. He doesn't dance. Mm-hmm. Dr. B that we didn't show it, but he's a medical doctor, addiction recovery doctor. He's at about 200,000 followers. He doesn't jump on trends. He just communicates his expertise. Mm-hmm. That's enough, right? So you can have fun on this platform. Social media is fun. But have that clear goal in mind and stick with it as best as you can.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the other thing that's really important is and you mentioned this before, is create your pillars or your themes, create your content, and then go back and look at your own profile analytics and see which ones are resonating. And that's the trends those are the trends you should be concerned about, are your own trends. One thing that you mentioned there that I wanted to touch on, because I think it's incredibly important. One of the most annoying things that I will ever hear is, I think I need to do social for the sake of being there. And that is an absolutely terrible approach, because you you'll never qualify any return on your investment if you're a business.
No way.
Up on some of these profiles, you've got beacons links, there's Linktree. One of the important things is to create a funnel path, and it's not a strict funnel. I think people really misunderstand. Like, we're not trying to drive people to click on the profile to click on the link necessarily directly, but you have to have it there because when you're providing that value, you need to create the ROI points, right? So you have something to measure against. And again, see all of your client accounts have those there. All of ours do too. Quite often we will see accounts that are completely disconnected. I do have a question for you in your experience. Have you tried crossing over users from TikTok to say YouTube Shorts, or is it really just, are you trying to grow each channel individually? Like, what's your experience with that?
Yeah, so there are some ways to do that. In fact, I just dropped a podcast episode on how to leverage TikTok to grow your Instagram following. Mm-hmm. So there are a couple ways. If you tell people, you know, go follow me on Instagram for more information, maybe a percentage will, but that's not a good enough reason. You have to sort of create that path. So a good way to do like TikTok to YouTube, for instance, is if you release a YouTube tutorial on something, a long tail keyword, an explanation, you know, whatever your YouTube channel is about, do an abbreviated version of that on TikTok. Do the 30-second version of it. Here's how to get more website backlinks, right? Step one is do this. Step two is do this. Want to see a full tutorial on how you can do this and implement it for your business? I just dropped this YouTube video. Go check it out. You know, that's the best way because the video is on TikTok has value in and of itself, mm-hmm. right? Yep. And then you're just tweaking your ending call to action, driving them to somewhere where they can learn more, dive deeper into the funnel, if you will. So, and this is, you know, TikTok you're using as awareness stage, and then you're nurturing them with more information on YouTube. Another quick strategy that I love to do to drive people over to Instagram is sometimes I've found that the TikTok policies and terms and conditions and stuff are a little more sensitive than Instagram. So I'll do a video like, here's a useful website that's gonna help you with X, Y, and Z, right? Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't, but every now and then those videos will get taken down if it builds up enough momentum, possibly people report it, possibly TikTok flags it for some reason, and then it takes mm-hmm. that video down. Well, because I'm repurposing all my videos everywhere, I automatically will post that on my Instagram. I'll do a new TikTok video and lean into FOMO. So what I'll do is I'll open a video and say, TikTok doesn't want you to see this video. And I'll briefly tease what it's about. You know, they don't want you to know that you can go to this website and learn about X, Y, and Z. And then at the end I'll go, but you can find the full video on my Instagram. And then I'll say, because they don't censor. So I'm doing two things. One is I'm driving people over to my Instagram because FOMO, they want to see it. But I snuck in there and a little engagement hack. I said something controversial. I said, Instagram doesn't censor. Of course mm-hmm. they censor. Everybody runs to the comments and says, what do you mean Instagram doesn't censor? Of course they censor, blah, blah, blah. All that does, those negative hate comments boost my video up. So more people see it, more people mm-hmm. go over to my Instagram.
Yep. And that's a great one. That's a great one. And a lot of these come from big YouTubers too, that have been doing this for a decade or more, right? The Mr. Beasts of the world. I think another interesting thing, just to kind of wrap it up, and we'll talk maybe predictions here, is maybe let's just quickly talk about one thing that I often see is people creating videos have to think about the pacing of the video and how the structure of a TikTok video is interesting. It's very much a compressed YouTube version. But oftentimes the hook will be 15 seconds in, or you've got some ridiculous stinger that comes up for some reason because we're watching a movie. What are some of your tips in terms of structuring TikTok videos to be effective and engaging on TikTok specifically?
So you have to, short and concise is the name of the game because the attention span on TikTok is terrible, like worse than a goldfish. So you have to stop that scroll immediately. You have to open your video up by asking a question, putting out there a statement of what you're going to be talking about, a value prop of it, saying something controversial, something to stop the scroll. There's not enough time to introduce yourself. Nobody cares about your credentials. Sorry. Nobody cares about your experience. It's not a YouTube intro. You don't have time to do a 15 second, a 30 second intro on your TikTok video. You got to jump right into the value prop. So immediately propose a value prop and then jump into the content. You can work on little pattern interrupts throughout. Maybe it's something going on in the background. Maybe, you know, something that I do is I'll start on the selfie and then my next shot will be a recording of my computer screen or something like that. So it's a pattern interrupt. It's a new thing that they're seeing on screen. It's not a stagnant floating talking head the whole time. It's different things. It's, you know, here's a clip, here's another clip, here's a, you know, an animation. Maybe there's a GIF that comes on screen or something like that. And then, you can either jump right into the closing call to action, or you can sneak in multiple intriguing elements throughout. Like I did a video yesterday, for instance, where I tell a story. I'm doing a storytelling element of there was a channel recently that just blew up. They gained 100,000 subscribers in 3 months. It was a countdown channel. They released 100 YouTube videos in 100 days. They're 6 seconds long, counting down from 100 to zero. And so I opened that video and saying, this YouTube channel just trolled the entire world and you're not going to believe how, right? So I create that level of intrigue and then I build it up. And then I, in the middle of that video, I say, and you're not going to believe what happens when the countdown hits zero. So I re-trigger their need to find out what happens, right? And then I explain the video, you know, what happens at the end and the video ends. And I ask them a question. I say, do you think this is the best troll of all time? Right. So, you know, sneaking that in, that's a great structure. Another thing that's very good on TikTok as well, very effective, is a perfect loop strategy. So the last statement or frame of your video links together perfectly with that first frame. And why this is so important is the most important aspect on TikTok right now for a video to grow is that view completion rate. So if you can get somebody to watch your video twice or multiple times, your video is going to blow up like crazy. So if you can strategically do that in a way that they don't realize that the video has already started over, you are magically increasing your video completion rate and view duration on that video.
Yeah. And so a good strategy for that is actually ending your video with, and that's how, and starting your video with something like, this couple sold their home for $200,000 over asking. Yeah, got to do the perfect because people will sit there through and then realize halfway through that, hey, I've already seen this.
Yes. Yeah. People are sneaky with it.
Yeah, and I know you're into YouTube as well. One of my favorite channels over there is a channel called Colin and Samir, where they talk to new media creators and really dissect these types of strategies. And it's really incredible and fascinating. Just one thing before we round out, some of your predictions for TikTok in the coming months, year. Where do you think they're going? What look into your crystal ball?
Yeah, so I think with the addition of 10-minute videos that we had alluded to, I think what they're trying to do is increase the attention span on the app, which will give more advertising opportunities. So I think, you know, right now the only there's only a couple ways of monetization for creators in TikTok, and it's a problem for TikTok creators. The creator fund sucks. Millions of views will get you a whopping tens of dollars.
And it's only available in the US.
Yeah. And it's only available. Yeah. So it's not even a worthwhile goal to make money. And then you have like the creator fund and then, the creator marketplace when you hit 100,000 where brand deals can happen. And then you have gifts when you go live and some people can receive tips on their account as well, but that's really it. There's not a lot of ways to monetize. So what I think is going to happen is with these 10-minute videos, the TikTok ads platform is going to roll out mid-roll ads in the middle of video. So I think that they're going to work on that. Mm-hmm. And it's increasing the attention span, which increases the likeliness of ads converting. So that's one thing. I think they're going to also roll out direct shoppable features. much like Instagram, you can shop in app. I think they're going to be rolling that out too. And possibly do, I would love for them to do an in-app affiliate for shoppable features as well. So this is something that's already available in the Chinese version, Douya or Douyin, whatever it's called, directly shoppable. So linking your video to a product that they can purchase within app. I would love to be able to link to a product on my videos. You know, hey, here's my ring light. Check it out here. You can buy it in, right? And I get an affiliate commission on that through that. So that's going to, I think they're going to work on different ways that creators can be monetized, because if you're not a business, you're just a creator, there's not a lot of money to be made.
That's where YouTube is really, I wouldn't say they've nailed it, but they've certainly nailed it better than anybody else, where their entire revenue stream is 55% of the 45 that, you know, they're minting creators over there. Totally agree with all of that. In fact, we just did a couple of episodes on headless commerce. Shopify is introducing all of their headless commerce integrations with TikTok and Instagram. They announced it about 3 months ago. It's already here. Not a full experience yet, but trust me, these are titans throwing thunderbolts at each other in the sky. And Jeffrey Bezos and Amazon effectively, in my opinion, purchased Twitch for the live shopping features to integrate the Twitch platform into Amazon. And these guys are all going to come out swinging for revenue. Because again, in Asia, the shoppable live stream is, it's mind blowing how big it is. And again, I guess there's a certain amount that would turn infomercially, but to have that experience where whatever it is that you're using, whether it's, this water bottle right here, I got this water bottle, and you can buy it, you know, talk about like Amazon One Click would look clunky compared to being able to just hit that right in TikTok and boom, it's on its way, right? Mm-hmm. So totally. All right. Well, we went a little over, but that's okay. We do that all the time. Austin, I want to thank you so very much for joining us. You've dropped tons of knowledge on the audience. And I know that it was that the chat was going really nicely there. So thanks for your time. And I look forward to having you back on again, where we can dive into more strategies.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Dan. It was an honor.
Anytime. All right, everybody, that's it for episode 223 of Live at the Hive, Digital Marketing from the Trenches. We will see you next week. Same B time, same B channel. Peace.